not live and coming back to you finally from historic Koreatown in Los Angeles. It's the Bob Dean Show. Yay. Okay, I'm going to be, thank you very much, people, for listening and tuning in and spreading it. I always start off my show by saying that I personally do not endorse Wells Fargo Home Mortgage or Tower Urology because they're both crooks. Thank you very much. Now, back to the show. Many of you know that I did have an accident last February, and the show has been rather sporadic and sketchy. And this is our first broadcast or taped broadcast in, about 3 months. But we are going to be coming back like gangbusters in the next few weeks. Sammy Junior, my producer, is here. Yay. Yeah. And, of course, that Fidel Castro-looking motherfucker, Dennis Olsen. What? And special guests today, fabulous comedians that I've had the pleasure of the recent pleasure of getting to work with, and hopefully a lot more in the future, Sally Mullins and Prince Peter. Yay! Welcome to the Bob Dean Show. I'm going to shamelessly plug myself first before we get into talking with our fabulous, glamorous guests. Kathy St. George, who we all love, is in the air right now on her way to Hawaii. We are taping broadcast in her beautiful apartment. I can't tell you the name of the building because Kathy is... We all know she's a gorgeous playmate. But we do know that Clark Gable lived in the apartment upstairs. It was Clark Gable, right?
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. This famous guitar guy died in the pool. Who's the black star from the building? Oh my God!
It must be Benson.
No, it was Al Jolson. Al Jolson built this building, and it's a huge, glorious apartment building. Los Angeles architecture is out of control. I fall in love with the city more every day, but it's a love-hate relationship because I fall in love with the architecture, but then I cry because I know I'll never be able to afford a house. yes, Clark Gable lived upstairs, and Al Jolson built the building because there were they wouldn't allow African Americans. So he built this luxurious building. Anyway, so let's get back to... Oh, yes, I will be appearing at the Ha Ha Club on Lancashire.
Woo!
With Derek Hagel on March 2nd. And I will also be, Sally Mullins will be hosting. It'll be my second appearance at D's Nuts Comedy at the Arena Stage Theater on Las Palmas and Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood on Tuesday, March 17th.
Woo!
And this is a little heads up, y'all. I got cast in a play, the Charles Stewart Howard Playhouse in Woodland Hills, which is a super cool theater company. It's a musical, and yes, I do have a solo. Hands on a Hard Body, and many of you may be familiar with that. It was a hit Broadway show.
Are you sure that's a play, Bob?
Yeah, it's not about it. That's the first thing everybody says is Hard Body. It's about a truck.
Is it an X-rated version?
Are you sure it's even a
truck
play?
Truck Stop Sex.
Well, you just Google it. Truck Stop Sex. That's so 70s. But yeah, it's at the Charles Stewart Howard Playhouse. We open on April 25th, so I will keep you broadcast on it. And you can Google it. It's a play based on a documentary about one of those contests in the 80s/90s where the radio station would pick you, and then you could, you stood with your hand on a vehicle and for 2-3 days, and whoever was the last person wins. And anyway, okay, so let's get to our guests, Sally Mullins and Prince Peter. Is your last name? May I reveal your last name, or just prefer Prince Peter?
No, you can tell all.
It's Brown, right?
It is Brown. Yes.
Brown. And Sally Mullins. Okay, and let's see. Prince Peter, I met through the fabulous Sunde Kronquist, international comedian and actress who owns the LA School of Comedy at 10835 Santa Monica Boulevard in beautiful Persianly endowed Westwood. And I didn't say it was a bad thing. Right next to the massage parlor. And hello, Sunde.
Really
love
good,
you,
then.
Miss you. And Sally Mullins, I've seen Sally around town a couple times. And when I went to see Peter invited me to D's Nuts Comedy, which is a fabulous show. It's what, four times? How many? Is it once a week?
Four Fridays a month, and then like a couple of Wednesdays a month at the Comedy Store,
No. I'm so sorry. D's Nuts at the Arena Stage, because we're going to get into the Comedy Store.
That's like either Tuesday or Wednesday, about two times a month.
Right, and Peter invited me to that, and there were new comedians and a couple seasoned comedians. Anyway, it was just a friggin' awesome show, and it's a great space, too. So that's where I met, I saw Peter. I met Peter through Sunda. And that's where Sally Mullins hosts the show there, as well as at the Comedy Store, which we're going to get into. Shameless promotion. I'm all about it. Okay, so let's start with Sally, because ladies first.
Absolutely.
Well, now let's do Peter first, because I've got his question.
So much for chivalry, right?
We're both British.
So Peter, you're from outside of London.
Right, right.
In a little community where everybody has window boxes, so you didn't have to buy flowers for your date.
No, I didn't. It was really convenient, right?
What's the name of the town?
It's Goring on Thames.
Goring on Thames?
Yeah, so it's right on the river, Thames there.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, really quaint little village. And, you know, it's, as you would imagine, and very picturesque. And you've got flower boxes, everybody outside in the businesses.
Right out of kind of a Doc Martin kind of...
You mean the shoes?
No, the show. I love Doc Martin. The British. Evil me. No, but I mean, you know, the little village where Doc.
Yeah.
Well, how lovely.
Yeah, it was very, very, very charming and very pretty. Yeah.
And I met your lovely wife at the show. I've forgotten her name, but she's pretty, pretty damn gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, you know, Beverly Hills, lots of plastic surgery now.
Are you married to an English bird?
No, she's Canadian.
Oh, okay. And Canadian.
But still under the crown.
What is her first name?
To be clear. Selena.
Selena, that's it. And you have a daughter who's 13?
Yeah, she's 13.
13, yeah. You talk about her in your act a lot, too. What's your daughter's name?
Well, her name is Regina.
Regina.
And she is an incredible pain in the ass.
A shout out to Selena and Regina.
She just had her period.
She just got it?
Yes.
Oh,
and,
my
you
God.
Know, now I know why. You know why they call it the period? Because it's like the end of being daddy's little girl. And becoming Darth Vader in a crop top.
Oh, nice.
A fucking crop top. Am I allowed profanity here?
Yes, you are.
All right.
Crop tops are usually about the same time period start, yeah.
Yeah, and she's really active, though. She does a lot of sports. She's on, like, the volleyball team, the basketball team, the debate
team. Where does she go to school? Well, you're in Beverly. We just discussed that. You live close to the beach.
Yeah, but I will say, you know, as a parent, with her being in all these activities, it really deep down makes me extremely angry because I've got to drive her ass all over town.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
In this town,
props to you.
Seriously, yeah. All her stuff, her activities are involved at school, but at other classes, you know, around.
She does some club sports as well.
Jeez, and I know where you live. Your neighborhood in Santa Monica is gorgeous and really close to the beach, but getting out of there.
It's a pain.
I've got a great way for you to get out of Santa Monica when you need to get past the 405.
What, helicopter?
No, serious. I'm not kidding. It's a but you Bundy to Nebraska, and I'll give you the details later. It's so much better than the friggin' Waze app or whatever.
Yeah.
But it gets you up there. Seriously, it'll cut half an hour off your driving time.
Well, I appreciate that, but I'm hoping to have to just not even deal with the driving anymore because I'm really encouraging her now just to be a gamer.
Sit at home.
Like, just, you know, play Fortnite in your room. I'd love that.
Yeah, I was watching Dr. Phil yesterday, and apparently the show on Monday is going to be about this little kid who's kind of obese. And he's pretty much like the Cartman character when they all were gaming in the basement and he wouldn't get out. So I cannot wait to tune in on Monday.
I'm actually now becoming, like, you know, remember the Tiger Mom? Like that Asian mother who, like, forces her kids to be really successful. Well, now... Well, actually, exactly. Now I'm becoming the anti-Tiger Mom.
Well, she just got her period, so her metabolism's going to slow down a little bit.
Well, I hope, and so...
Well, I hope the poor kid doesn't hear the episode of this Bob Dean show. Yay.
Yay.
Thank you. What was I just... So I went on a cruise several years ago, which I know I've mentioned on the show before. But I tend to repeat myself. A Carnival cruise where I did win the hairiest back contest.
Is this a bear cruise?
No, it was one of those 4-day junkets down to what's that town in Mexico?
Oh yeah,
not Puerto Vallarta. Anyway, what I was saying is that there were tons of kids on the thing, and they were all so big. All the kids were just big, and I was like, wow. And I mean, you know, I don't know how parents do it. Because we have 5 cats. They're rescue cats. We're fostering them, Mr. Landlord. So you can't. That's why we have some. But I don't know how people with kids do it. Because if a cat stays out all night, I'm like, oh, geez, where is he? I mean, I go and open the door 100 times. And she's just getting into those formative years where you get to start worrying, I guess.
Yeah, but I'd be really happy if she just doesn't come home and that's it. Now we're without
say
kids.
That.
Life so much easier.
Well, all those sports too. She's going to be like really focused on, you know, getting through school and almost like having a job, because these coaches make sports a job for kids in high school, it seems.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm joking, of course. I mean, it is good that she's into organized sports,
yeah.
Especially team sports for girls.
It really helps.
Yes.
Yeah. Because it denies them having to learn stabbing girls in the back.
That's true. That's so true. Yeah.
They can learn that later, though.
People, like, a lot of straight men have this fantasy that we're all like cat scratching each other, you know, and we're not. Like women
just,
like
just
other women for the most part. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
that just blew a lot of guys' fantasies to hell. So, Peter, you've only been doing comedy for what? 2 years? Three years?
2 years now, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And you did you move to Los Angeles just to pursue your comedy career?
Yes, I did. I moved here just for that purpose, exactly. Well, and also for the traffic.
Of course. I thought about that. I thought about that line when we were sitting on the damn 10 trying to get off at Normandy. Where did you guys move from?
Well, we were in outside of London at the time.
So you moved from London to Los Angeles.
To Los Angeles.
Wow, how
yeah.
wonderful to be able to make such a giant life leap at your age.
Yeah.
But because I've got 20 years on you, kid. Well, no, seriously, that's awesome. Can you tell us about what you did in London before? Do you care to discuss that at all?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I was in property management, and but I'd always really enjoyed, you know, even as a kid, being an entertainer and making people laugh. And you know, people said you should go into comedy, and so finally, I was like, you know, I can. So you know, why not?
I think it's friggin' it's awesome because you know. And especially that your wife and daughter are on board with it too, because I bought a station wagon and moved west. I don't see what the pioneers were bitching about. I came over in a covered wagon, but it was a Buick with air conditioning. to make such a, you know, I came out here at 44 with no rose colored glasses.
Uh-huh.
You know, if something good ever, and I've got a nice following, I think, that will never go over the hill, though. It kills me on a weeknight. But the point being is that I'm very, I love, there's, you guys can attest to this. There's nothing more fun than getting up on a stage and doing your comedy. I don't know about you guys, but I've done every drug under the sun except inject anything. And I have, which I don't anymore. But
I still do
getting
drugs.
Off the stage or listening to the audience or riffing with the audience and all that is the best high in the whole entire world. It really is.
It's fun. I mean, it's... you know, because people come out, they want to escape, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, everybody's dealing with the daily grind. So they come to escape. And when you can help them, you know, get on the train, your train, for however minutes you're up there, it's really special.
It's a blast.
I don't know if I see the audiences we get in comedy in LA as coming to escape. I think they're coming because their friends force them to come. But if
beg them to come.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the opposite of escape. It's more like own up and deal with reality. But it really is paying your fucking dues one way or another. Come watch your friends pay their dues. But if you can deliver something that elevates them, they're very appreciative. So they are good audiences.
Yeah. Well, Sally Mullins, now you're... Yeah. Let's talk about you for a few minutes. How long, we were discussing in the elevator on the way up that your 25th anniversary as Angelina is coming up.
Yeah, that's going to be on the day you're performing at the Comedy Store, March 17th. Sorry, the arena stage, my bad.
The arena stage.
It's a beautiful stage.
It's a beautiful stage.
And it's great parking.
It's, hello.
Yeah.
The first time I went, we did find a spot right on Hollywood Boulevard across from Musso and Frank's. So I didn't have to pay, but
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Now, where you do you call home anywhere else, or do you just call? I mean, where are you from?
Well, here's what's weird. Peter and I on the same show. I was born in England, but I'm from Northern England, the countryside, and I moved to Florida when I was 9 years old.
Oh,
mm-hmm. I grew up and was educated in Florida.
Are your folks English?
Yes.
Fabulous.
Very Northern. So
neat.
Peter can back me up that Homebridge, Huddersfield, these places I'm from. Like I'm country.
Yeah, yeah, it's
country England. There
people,
is,
people never think of England as that countryside, but
yeah.
in my opinion,
it's so beautiful. Over there.
It's my favorite part of the country.
Shows from there just to see the countryside.
Last of the Summer Wine. That show was filmed in our backyard, kind of.
No kidding.
Backyards are unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And then what part of Florida did you migrate to?
South Florida, West Palm Beach, Boca Raton, kind of thing. Boynton Beach.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I lived down there for. Many years.
Yeah, we're about
Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
Hell yeah! When you said South Beach.
Yeah, South. Well, I lived on South Beach.
I did a lot of theater there.
Cool.
Oh, it was so cool.
A long time ago. You know, I did. As a matter of fact, we have a mutual friend, Tomato DuPlenty, God rest his soul, who was the lead singer of the Screamers, which was one of the pioneer punk bands. And Dennis and Tomato were really close. Then, and Dennis was living, of course, out here on the West Coast. I met Tomato DuPlenty sitting at a little locals cafe at the bar in 91. And we became fast friends, and he cast me in a play that he wrote with Gorilla Rose called Oogies. And it was at the Art Act Theater on Española Way. Yeah, J.C. Carroll's little theater. And,
Art Act, yeah.
Yeah. And,
what years are we talking about here?
We're talking 90, 91.
Exactly. We were down there at the same time. I moved here 97, 95. Cool. 95.
Well, when we have more time, we have to sit down and discuss, because I'm sure we probably have some Art mutual Act. Friends. Because the beach was so tight back then. Because, you know, the students, it was being gentrified by students and gay people and younger couples, because it was the apartments were great, because, you know, after the Mariel Boatlift, it became a war zone, just like in the movie Scarface, you know,
tent city.
But but the play was called Oogies, and the Miami Herald reviewed us as horrendous. And of course, I wasn't much of an actor, you know, but everybody else in the play, there was, you know, it had frontal nudity in the whole nine yards. They were all actors. So when I came in my khaki shorts and my polo shirt with the Herald going, "We're horrendous," they were all like, "Fuck you." But it's at the Framer right now. I just found it in an old box. But we were horrendous, so it became a cult classic. The theater was packed every night.
Oh, that's great.
Everybody had to come see how bad we were.
Good. You're like, we'll be bad. Wasn't there a guy called Bob Dean who sold Chevys in Florida? Wasn't there Bob Dean Chevrolet?
That's right.
I always thought that was cool. And when I said your name at the arena stage.
He was in, I think, Palm Beach, right?
Yeah, Palm Beach.
Yeah.
That's near where I lived. Yeah. So I was like, Bob Dean, well, I love it.
That's how I fell in love with South Florida, because I had a couple of, when I was in school at Middle Tennessee State University, I worked at a restaurant, and these two girls moved to West Palm. And West Palm was so tiny back then. There was still, Singer Island was still little crab shacks and, you know, tiki bars and stuff. No high rises or anything. And I spent 10 days down there and had the most fun I've ever had in my life. So I went back and quit school to my parents' dismay and moved to Fort Lauderdale first. That's how I got my South Florida career. Because I actually did flip a coin, and it was either going to be South Florida or Los Angeles. And I flipped a coin, and it was South Florida. But then I make a joke, I wish I had moved out here, because I could have been a washed-up has-been by now.
Well, it's that is pretty fun. Believe me, it is pretty fun to be that. But Florida in the 80s was amazing. The gay bars, like Backstreet,
yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, the pool area, the Copa, Cathode Ray. This was really fun.
Yeah, I'm sure we probably bumped into each other at an after-hours bar or something.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I was getting into bars when I was really young, because I was always with really cute gay guys. I had fake IDs. I was getting into gay bars when I was like 16. And getting shit-faced, doing coke, having a blast.
Yep.
Oh, living a good life.
But when you did coke, did you ever consider perhaps the alternative, like Pepsi?
Never.
No.
I tried coke, and the combination just was like... Like it was terrible.
Yeah, well, we're not supposed... We're used to bland. We're used to bland food. We're British, you know? We're going to Trump.
Well, all the time... The walks of shame, and it's like I with my friend on Miami Beach, especially, because we would start at, it was nothing, because the bars are open until 5.
Yeah,
but the cool places, and it was nothing for the phone to ring at 1 a.m. and your friend go, "Hey, meet me over at, you know, Twist or Lulu's," and I'm like, "No, I'm staying in tonight." 5 minutes later, there's a friggin' cab at your door, or you walk.
Yep, pre Uber.
The next thing you know, it's like 9 a.m. and you're, you know, selling Dennis is when I was coming from some after hours bar on Lincoln Road, and there was this real. I lived at the Fenimore, which was right next to the park, and there was this kid. He was wearing khaki pants and boxer shorts, because his pants were down around his ankles, and he was passed out on the curb. And I was like smoking a cigarette, and I'm clumping along the sidewalk, and my first thought was, I hope to God he's not dead, because that means this is pre-cell phone.
I have to report this,
and I'm like, because then I'm gonna have to find a cop and blah blah blah. So I walked up and I kicked him. You know, his pants are down and his like mouth's open, and I kicked him like gently in the hip, and I go, "Hey, are you dead?" And he's like, "No." I'm like, "Get up and go home." And that was an everyday shit.
That sounds
crazy.
Like Liquid Sky.
So now you've been doing Have you been now? We also know that you are a celebrated porn actress as well, adult film actress.
Sure, I don't know about celebrated. You can call it what you want, but I don't know about celebrated.
I'm just trying to make you look good, honey, because you look good in your pictures, girl. I was doing a little research. Yeah. Did you start comedy before porn or after porn? And
absolutely.
And how long have you been doing
comedy? 21 years, and porn and fetish probably about 19 years.
I mean, it
just followed because you need money and you're putting so much out there in comedy and you're going through this creative evolution and then you're like, let me try this as well. Here's something else I've always wanted to do, because your mind's kind of blowing through developing as a comedian. So it probably did lead to that.
Well,
by the way, I'm feeling inspired.
To do some porn. You could totally do like hot dad porn. Stepdad.
That's right. Sylvia Sage is, we love Sylvia Sage, host of her podcast, Hot Raw Sexy. And your podcast is called
Porn Mom.
And Sylvia has been on our show several times, and Sylvia is an absolute gas. And Sally and Sylvia are good friends. And they discuss and openly that you guys are the cleanest people in the world as far as, you know, being tested for STDs and that sort of thing. You're a very tight-knit, fun community. But you were saying the older porn, because that was cracking me up, because Sylvia said she's like, yeah, I always play the creepy stepmom.
Well, I'm Granny.
Granny?
Sylvia's a hell of a lot younger than me. I'd be playing her mom.
Granny porn.
It's granny porn.
It's out there, folks. And you heard that on the Bob Dean Show. Yay.
Yay.
Now, what was it? I told there's one. No names. A person that we know. What was I going to say? So when I was looking, it was the first time Sylvie came on the show, I looked on her Pornhub page and I clicked on this thing, and it was hilarious because there's this like very handsome young guy sitting on the edge of the bed, and he's, you know, taking care of business with his own hand. And Sylvia comes in and she's got this like a dish towel, and she goes, or a hand towel, and she goes, look, are you doing this again? Look what you've done to my decorative towel. She enunciates it. It's like, my decorative towel. And of course, then she has to show him, you teach him a lesson.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because guys want to be watched jerking off. They want us to see their dicks. It's like a big thing, you know? I know.
Now, do you, is it that they still record like in houses in the hills, or is there like a company that you belong with? Just tell us more.
I have my own company. I have my own website. It's called Jamie Foster Strips. So I'm very much sort of like a, you know, cottage porn, like homemade, homegrown production kind of vibe. But I work for, you know, it's easier. It's just easier. It's easier with, you don't have to go leave the house. You lazy porner.
A fabulous working from home job.
I have so many pets too. Like, my biggest challenge is keeping my pets out of the shots, because I'll be like jerking off and there's just a cat just strutting through the background, you know.
So when I hear you're working from home, see, I'm thinking, because of my background, you get to write off your rent.
Yeah, you write off a lot of your rent. You do. I mean, I have a corporation, which is really helping now with crazy tax shit. But I go to other places and film, and there's shoots in Calabasas. There's a lot of shoots in the West Valley, you know, sometimes here, but usually Valley, 818.
Well, you and Sylvia should get together and do a family sequence.
I know. I always want to work with Sylvia. We haven't had sex on camera. We're both straight, so we keep putting it off.
Shout out to Sylvia Sage. Hey, girl.
I was just in an interview in Hustler magazine that was about female porners who also do comedy, and Sylvia was not in it, and I was very surprised she wasn't in it, because she's very good.
I saw that on the, and another thing too, though, but you are also an accomplished actress in straight, writer, director, and producer. Now, and I also saw on your IMDb that you wrote with David Spade. And that's such a funny show.
Oh, I was on his show just for a little appearance. Basically, I'm on Lights Out with David Spade introducing people. So they just show me saying, coming to the stage. And, you know,
still,
I look cute. I got a wheat with the dress on with the pot leaves. And but I'm milking that credit. And they're cool about me milking it. You know, they're really nice. Yeah.
I used to wait on David Spade at La Scala. Mm-hmm. And he was just a really cool guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Seems
very friendly and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Sweet.
So, what was it? Another question?
Can I ask about you? Because I know that pot dress that you've got.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is
it scratch and sniff?
Let's see. I should have worn one, and you could have had a go at it. I think it's discontinued. I'm only asking
for research purposes.
Asking for a friend.
Yes. But you've also performed. You've done two tours with Armed Forces Entertainment, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, that was fun.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Do you know Jacqueline Marfucci?
That sounds familiar.
She's done tours. Armed Forces tours as well. She's another comic lady. Hi, Jacqueline. So tell us about that. Where did you go?
Well, the first one, it started in Greenland and it went to Guantanamo Bay. It was before Cuba was open, mm-hmm. and it was really cool. And then it went around like Central and South America. And then the next one was more like standard Europe, you know, like Germany, England, Holland kind of thing. The first one was more fun because it was warmer. And everything was new and the crowds were more packed. But those are great tours because, you know, you get some huge, like 300 seaters and a lot of hot guys and beautiful women, too. You know, but I'm cursed with being straight. But the second one, like for some reason, it wasn't as packed. But even if you get like 20 military people there, they'll make it sound like 60 because they're just like gung ho people. Mm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And it's win it.
That's well, great. And they're happy
that's
to.
An inculcated reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
Brought up like that.
Yeah, yeah. It works for a comedy show.
Yeah, well, do you think doing any more tours, or do they invite you to do so, or
you no? Still... You know, it might have been that I fucked too many guys on the tour. It could be part of it. And also with doing porn now, I don't know how they'd be, and I think it's just an extra thing the producers don't want to deal with.
Right.
And there, I get
certain
it.
Certain lines you can't.
I did two tours. Like, you know, I'm okay with like you do something, you have a good experience, quit while you're ahead.
I think it would be the opposite. Shit. I think they could spin it as a meet and greet.
I think they could too, but it might be sort of like a little, yeah, yeah. I see that too. Mm-hmm. You should be my agent.
You just saw her in your room, and here she is live.
Now, along with
These
Nuts at the Arena Stage, you host These Nuts at the Comedy Store.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's what on when. Tell us
Wednesdays
about
that. And Fridays, yeah, we have a really nice show, up and coming comedians and some experienced comedians, and you know, it's fun to be there.
Yeah,
it sells out.
I've done the Comedy Store twice on the main stage, like on a Monday night,
mm-hmm.
and then I did the first time I ever did anything in town was in the Belly Room. Of course, you know.
Me too.
And it was my first on stage set,
mm-hmm.
and I made the huge mistake because of going up. I had a lot to drink, and I thought that, you know, and of course it didn't. I mean, I didn't bomb, but it didn't help at all. It's just so ridiculous. And I look back now, you know, because I've been a bartender for 38 years. People say, "What do you do?" I say, "I'm an actor and a comedian." They're like, "Oh, you're a bartender." I'm like, "We're a waiter, yeah," and which is the fact. But which is the same thing as being on stage. And I worked in every place from 5-star dining to where they will kill you over a pool cue. You know, so it's just like being on stage. That and so, but now I have zero fear. I'm more concerned about the parking meter running out than bombing on stage. Because even if you do screw up, you know, you just keep on talking and half the time they don't even know that you've screwed up.
I know.
And we all do. We all stumble or forget something that we want to put in. And, you know, and my favorite hecklers are large African-American women. I love it. I'm like, bring it on. But
do we want to ask
about
why those are your favorite?
Because it doesn't happen often because I am so entertaining. right. But you know, like you'll say, you know, something like that was stupid or yell something like that. Or I do this bit about being a bartender and it's a fact. I'm not trying to sound like a racist or be offensive, but white women always want to taste everything on the wine list and African-American women can never taste any alcohol. I can't taste no alcohol in this, ever, all over the country.
That's funny.
And you know, and I'm like, but it's friggin' vodka on the rocks, you know. But I've done that joke a couple of times and, you know, and they start like with something like that. You know, and then I tell a joke about that. It's yes, and Dennis, we're discussing my website, and I do need to move some stuff around because I've got a bunch of videos up my website, but it's my core act. And my core act is the important thing. But when you have the time, you know, because you want to stick to that set, you know, your 5 minutes or your 7 minutes or your 10 minutes, because there's a bunch of other comics that are great, and then they're ready to do their time, you know. And I hate it. We all hate it when somebody just keeps rambling on and on and on. But as I am doing right now.
Well,
but
those
it's my
shows
show, the Bob
are
Dean
tight.
Show. Yeah.
There's
yeah.
no light.
Yeah.
There, so.
Those shows are a lot of comics.
Exactly. And that's why you have to be tight. But my point was is that when you start with your core act, but when you know you've got the time to go, I can do an hour. I can do a solid hour. That's good. That's fun.
That's awesome.
You know, because you get to start with one thing and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, well, you guys know how it is. But there's nothing better. And see, I've lost my train of thought. Where were we talking about? Oh, the Comedy Store. I love that place because it used to be Ciro's.
Yeah.
And like I said, I don't have a lot of connections or, but, you know, but the couple shows that I've done there, you know, it's haunted. It's supposed to be totally haunted, right? Like with some mean spirits, so like mob guys and stuff.
Yeah.
Really?
And I remember seeing something on a television years ago, like when I probably was living in Tennessee still, so this would be like 15, 20 years ago, where they were talking about like the ice machine is haunted. You know, I don't know if you've heard any of those.
Yeah. I mean, people do see and feel ghosts there. And...
Yeah. I ran a haunted bar on South Beach.
Oh,
that was haunted by two spirits, and there were murders in 1985, so I got to talk to witnesses and all.
Oh, my gosh.
But the one Jean, she was very, very active, and so it was really cool. But the second show I did there, I was back in the green room off the main stage all by myself. And, you know, I was like waiting, hoping something would happen. You know how when you're sitting in the green room there, or you're, and you can see the stages to your left, and there's long red curtains, and there's kind of double? Well, I'm sitting back there, and I swear, and I, you know, no offense to anybody, but I see this figure moving really slow, a large figure, like my size, but moving real slow. And all it was like, all I could see was that it was dark. There was no face. Anyway, and it's moving real slow because she's... It turns out that it's this comic who's just a really large lesbian.
Oh.
And she was all about it. She owns a concrete company and all that. But the whole point of the story is that she was like cruising along really slow. And I was about going, okay, I'm at the Comedy Store. I'm way back here all by myself. There's nobody in that giant room. And that's another one of my
What was her name?
I can't remember.
This I think I know who you're talking about.
She was really funny. And she was starting out because there was a guy.
She's like super butch, right?
Super butch. But really cool and very funny.
I think I know who you're talking about. She did construction and she had like femme girlfriends. And she was like, my name is like fucking butch, man.
Like, yeah. Like this has been a couple of the 2-3 years ago.
I think I know who that was.
But yeah, she was right. Mm-hmm. But I like that stage. I like the Laugh Factory because you can see the audience, and but that was it's a tough one in the main room. The Belly Room is friggin' awesome.
Yeah, I love the Belly Room. That's where I started out too. I mean, I like not seeing the audience sometimes. You just in your own head, and then you kind of throw out things to them too.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, how visible is the audience at the Stage Theater?
Arena stage? Arena it depends stage. How they're doing the lighting, but it can be pretty visible. I just shot a comedy special there, and they need to see the audience reactions, so that was really light, you know?
But that
was a great special, by the
way. That was a lot of my friends were there, like Peter was there, so, you know, you kind of...
But you were great. You really were.
It was cool.
Well, is it out where we can see it now?
It's being edited, so it's going to be out pretty soon.
Where can we find it? Do you know yet?
I'm going to submit it to Amazon Prime if no one picks it up, so you can probably see it on Amazon Prime.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent. Sally Mullins. That is so cool.
I mean, I'm going to try and see if anyone can get it anywhere. But, you know, it's good to have your own credit and something you're making money off of that people are, you know, paying like a little money to see. Because when you're introduced on stage, I mean, I'm the host, so it's cool to be able to be like, you know, Bob Dean and his podcast, like something that's theirs, not just promoting, say, military tours. The military doesn't need me to promote them. So it's good to have your own stuff.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I'm sure we'll.
I'm working up towards an hour.
Yeah, you should do it. The Arena Stage is a really great place to shoot a special.
Yeah.
Putting that out there to all the comedians listening to this.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, that's something for me to look forward to, too.
Great venue.
The thing about, you know, I use this as an excuse, but I had such a great bartending gig in Beverly Hills. That put me so, you know, because you got to go out a lot. You got to get yourself out there and hang out and, you know, this and go to open mics, you know. But if I had such a good bartending gig 5 nights a week that it was like if I kept saying, hey, can you cover? Hey, can and even, you know, my friends till death, Nikki, Sasha, and Juan, we were all behind the bar together. You know, you could, but if you keep going, can you cover? It looks bad. So that was my big excuse. But, I want to get out there and start doing more stuff. The Belly Room Comedy Store, I'm going to have to start hanging out there too, like a little group. The last time I was there, though, everybody was like 12. And it was just one of those nights. Because Sammy does, get off the phone, Sammy. Just kidding. Sammy is still doing...
stand-up?
Historical roast, yes.
Oh, cool.
And that was a great crowd. Sammy's in the pioneer of historical roast.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Can you explain that? I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah. It's
they roast people in a historic whatever. I can't learn.
Yeah. So they right.
Hitler and Eva Braun and yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's
oh my god, I could do Eva Braun. Although I'm sure she was. How old was she when she died? I look kind of like her. How old was she when that shit blew up?
She was in her.
She's probably like 42. Yeah, I bet she did some porn for Hitler. Yeah. Yeah. Some selfie stuff. Yeah. 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 Scat.
Yuck. Anything with scat and 666, leave me out of it.
I hear you.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Limits, limits.
Yeah, so I'm excited about my two upcoming shows. I've got, you know, I love writing my comedy. I love it because I've got 2,000, I don't do anything in a phone. Oh, this is what I want to say. The girl that I saw her at your show, and then the one that I did at D's Nuts at the arena stage. Uh-huh. And she's an African-American chick that's married to the white Swedish guy.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah,
what
yeah.
is her name? Is it, her name is Sally, I think, too?
Oh, there's only one Sally around. Black girl married to a Swedish guy.
She talk, you know, she that's a lot of her. She's, you know, short,
yeah, she's quite good.
Hair. She's really funny. Yeah, she's but she's the one that she, I was following her. And she, and right at the end of her act, she's talking about, she's like dogging white guys with podcasts. Which I thought was hilarious. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be the perfect person to follow. You know? And we talked in the parking lot. I want to get
oh,
her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
No one wants to listen to your podcast.
Right. Funny. And then that's how I opened. I'm like, yeah, I'm another white guy with a podcast. The difference is people listen to mine. But I'm bumped.
Yeah, they like that. Yeah, I remember yeah, that it was how great, you it was opened. Great.
And, you know, and so I said, I wasn't seasoned on my, that was some new material that I really should have polished up. But it was right after
it was funny.
The Super Bowl. And the whole thing about it is I thought it was a really young crowd. And I was like, hey, did everybody love this that halftime show? And they're like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, I thought it sucked. Uh-huh. And it's not like I'm dogging Shakira or J-Lo. I'm just saying that it was, to me, it was boring as hell. That
go
all she did
it.
Was bounce that butt for like 14
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, go for it. Know? Do it harder. Younger people love to be like disciplined. And, they and need
there,
it.
There was
they
one
want
guy
it.
In the second row that I saw his face too. I was like, I never thought I'd live to see the day when a Toyota Corolla was cool. And he was like, they are cool. And I just winked at him. I'm like, yeah, you keep telling yourself that.
Yeah.
How much time do we have? Oh, sweet.
I think sometimes as a comic, when you're doing a hard act that is pissing people off, you just have to work through it and it'll get there.
Yeah.
You just have to work through it.
Well, you know, that's just the thing about it. We're getting into, like, I was reading about this too, and I don't know how, let me ask how you guys feel about it. Because I did Ray Reniegas, Ray Ray show. At, he and his fiance produce at Bar Lubitsch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really cool show. Which I can't think of the name of. I'm sorry. I swear I'm losing my mind. I'll think of it in a second. But at any rate, I did this bit about, it's a true story about when I walked in a supermarket and this, I was trying to decide what kind of bread to buy. And this short African-American girl, she was big and she was short and she was from like a halter top. And I just stepped back and said, pardon me. She walked by and she said, get out of my face, reptile. And so I talk about the story and I had these two African-American dudes who, they are hosts of a show at a club that I'm not going to. And the guy came up and to shake my hand as they were leaving, you know, and I thought he was going to go, hey, nice set. And he's like, I just want to let you know, your attacks against sisters and all that. And I was like, what? I'm like, it's comedy. So my point is that now, you know, where do we draw the line?
Oh, you've got to be so careful now.
Right.
I've cut out so much stuff.
It's comedy, you know, or not.
No,
Or not. Just say what you think is funny. It has to be what you think is funny, and then you will work to make it palatable or get the best results, whatever way it takes.
Yeah. Well, that's how I was doing it for years past, but then with some of the new stuff that I'm coming up with now, too. That I think is hilarious. That's what I was saying. I love to write my stuff. I have 2,000 pieces of paper stuffed everywhere in the house, and I put them in big Ziploc bags, and then I go up to the public when I feel like it. Because, you know, it's not like every day I wake up and go, I'm going to write today. But when I finally get that, yeah, I do it all in spiral notebooks like this.
That's cool. Yeah, me
and
too.
I go up to the library because of the big tables, and I take all the little pieces of paper and put them in files, and then I start to write. And I love writing as well. And I'll be sitting in the library laughing out loud, and they're like, shh. But a lot of the new stuff that I want to go with, it's like, I don't know if it's going to hurt the Me Too people or, you know, and I did this whole bit about a white man being a white man of privilege, you know.
People need...
Our swimming pool didn't have a diving board.
They need people to make fun, you know, that's
comedy's
job.
Well, that's just it. It's comedy. We all make fun of each
it's
other, not, you know.
Job.
So.
But you don't want to become another Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I mean, like, who's the guy that made it as a cast member on Saturday Night Live, somebody dug up something from years ago, something that was, you know, a little bit racially charged, and then he got canned from the show.
Yeah. See, that's bullshit.
You know, because it's that, you know, cancel culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of comedians, well-known comedians, are really starting to complain about now.
But there's a difference between making fun of other races like he did and talking about how you've had specific incidents with certain communities. I don't know. I mean, but yeah, maybe it's just something everyone wants to stay away from now. I mean, it really depends on your experience. But yeah, that guy, I guess they just wouldn't have chosen him in the first place if they would have looked into that, right?
Mm-hmm. Probably
maybe
not.
That's where the fucking problem is.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
but I mean, I feel it is really, like you said, Sally, it's like comedy's job to be able to reflect back to society.
Yeah.
As in a humorous commentary, but some of these topics are becoming quite taboo now, right?
Yes, there are. There are some topics. It's really weird. I feel like when we have a conservative in the White House, people need the rebellion, you know, they need, you know, women to be like, I'm a whore and I'm proud or whatever. And then when we get a liberal in, it'll be like, that's TMI. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, right now is a very interesting time to be a comedian. It really is. Like that guy who's not allowed on Saturday Night Live, he will find his fans that support him and he'll find his. Mm-hmm. But he has to decide if his voice does want to go in that direction. You know, I mean, he has to decide where that came from. Like, I think you should just ultimately talk about what you feel. It shouldn't be like about what's trending or what you feel
precisely.
Is PC.
What you see in society.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it. It's a personal experience.
Because that's your art. That's what's going to be really exactly. funny. And if your art is kind of racist, I don't think it's wrong that you should do it. I just think you have to be aware of your limits. Like, I know I can't tour for the fucking military anymore because I do porn. You know, the outcome. Just know that. He lost a chance to be on Saturday Night Live, and where does he want to take it from here?
Well, I wish him well. My motto is, I only pick on other people because I'm insecure about myself, which is a fact. Hey, you want to play a little Just Jump?
Okay.
Now, Dennis is going to end our Just Jump, of course, is Dennis Alsen is the host, and it is Amy Vanderbilt's 1957 Guide to Etiquette, and Dennis will ask etiquette questions, and myself and Sally and Peter are the panel who shall attempt to give him the correct answer. So quietly, I want Dennis to...
Is this like Emily Post? All right.
Okay. Ready to play. Just jump.
First question.
Should a Protestant send flowers to an Orthodox Jewish funeral?
I would say yes.
Well, I can take this because I am Jewish, which, yes, there are Jews in Britain.
Yeah, yeah.
Not anymore.
Really?
Since
not
I moved
in the
here.
Not in the north.
Yeah. Well, not in the south here either since I moved here, so...
I figured you were Jewish because you said you owned property, like in England, and I was like, okay, he's Jewish. Cool.
What do you think, Sally?
No.
You say yes?
It's Orthodox funeral, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say yes. I don't think it would be a bad taste to send flowers if you lost a friend.
But you know, I can just tell you from personal experience, really they appreciate food.
Oh yeah.
Gefilte fish.
Well, her answer when she wrote this was no. To Orthodox Jews, flowers are a sign of joy. They should never be sent to a funeral. Often, too, flowers are not desired at a conservative or reform funeral.
I'm more Jewish than you are. I got it right.
That makes sense, I guess. Because when you say
I said food.
I'm down with food.
Yeah, it's about joy.
That's why I love Jewish men so much. They feed you.
Yeah, you'll never stop.
A story that I've told a couple times.
Especially get the mother involved.
Yeah.
I love this one. A Jewish friend passed, it's been 2 years now, and he and his wife have a lovely, lovely home in the Palisades down in South Bay. And I had spoken to his wife, and I said, you know, even though he's Jewish, I said, Charlie loved ribs from Wolfgang's. And I said, I can't come empty-handed. Can I bring some? And she's like, Bob, that would be great. You know, so I got this beautiful tray of ribs from the restaurant. And, of course, it's a catered event. They've got this huge spread. And here I come with my tin of ribs. And I take them and I put them in the kitchen. And I'm standing out on the patio by the pool, and I hear this. It's just like out of the TV. There's four when one goes, who brings ribs to a shiva? The other one goes, ah, that goyim out there in the blue blazer with the beard. And then the third woman goes, but Shiva, they're from Wolfgang's in Beverly Hills. And they all go, ah.
Love it.
Okay, let's have question number two.
How is a paid death notice inserted in the newspapers, and who does it?
A paid death notice?
A paid death notice.
You mean like obituary?
Yeah, an obituary.
How is a paid death notice inserted in newspapers, and who does it?
Well, I would say because both of my parents have passed, I've done that. And I can say that family does that.
Yeah, I thought they were talking about next of kin. Yeah, next of kin.
Yeah.
The person in charge of the funeral prepares the death notices and may insert them himself in the local paper or have the mortician do so.
So as the person in charge of the funeral, whoever that is. Okay, yeah. Interesting.
The one that's not all freaked out.
Is that book,
but I don't
is
see
that book
going
from the 1800s?
Down to the newspaper company and sticking them in yourself like that.
I'm sorry about your parents.
Why not just put them on
the car's
windshield?
You're younger than me. That's too young to lose your parents.
Yeah. Well, Well, thank you.
That's young.
When my folks passed, my dad's, but when my mom passed, it was like, have you ever seen the episode of Roseanne where Jackie and Roseanne go to buy a coffin? Mm-hmm. Or Jackie and Dan go to buy, it's exactly how it was with my, I'm so glad I brought my older brother because he's always the voice of reason. Because the guy is like, you know, he's like, well, here's our new, you know, 1990 La 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 casket and it features this and that. And I was like, I'm here to buy a casket. So there's no point in that story except when you're all freaking out. There's got to be somebody that handles the funeral arrangements.
But, well, I'll tell you this,
because they will try and sell you anything.
I thought that's what obituaries were for.
No, I'm talking about when you go to take care of some family member needs to be in control with their head so they can post the obituary and make the arrangements and that sort of thing. Let's go on to another question. That's kind of depressing.
No, it's true. You have to talk about that. You have to plan, you know? I get it.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember anything. I mean, when my mom passed away, because she passed away, thank God, beautifully in her sleep at home. And
nice.
So I found her the next day, and it was, you know, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, that was the great way if she had to go. You know, she did it.
Way
she
to
fell
go.
Asleep. And, but as far as all that, I don't remember anything. I remember just walking downstairs and like 100 people in the house and getting a drink of water and my sister going, you need to come and talk to this lady because she's got me cornered. And I just went back upstairs and went to sleep for another 2 hours. But, you know, it's just crazy at times like that.
Well, I will add something is that, you know, even in death, Jewish people save money because cool. You have to buy like the least expensive coffin. So there you go.
That's really cool that your parent, like, coffin, here's my thing with death. Like, everyone's cremated now. It's politically correct. But all I've ever wanted all my life is to be a fucking skeleton. And, you know, I've dabbled with anorexia and I want to be in a mausoleum or in a box. And I want to be a fucking skeleton in a nice dress.
That's a great
beautiful
idea.
Bag of bones. And I hate to be a dick. I'm politically correct in other ways. I help animals, you know. So can I have this? Can I be in a box?
You know, that would be a great idea. Is letting your skeleton and then put, if you wanted to, and then have it like on display at the funeral. At the,
yeah.
We went to Hollywood Forever to see our friend Tomato, who we were discussing earlier. And his he's in the whatever
what did
they
this
call
guy die of?
He just was sick. Yeah. And we lost him way too young. But in his, it's the fancy part of Hollywood Forever. I don't know what they call him. Something atoriums. Mm. But it's got this really, it's a cool display case with his ashes. But there's pictures and things like that. It's really neat. Mm. So we could do something like that in the future where
can
we
I
just
Google
hang our skeletons.
Him?
Oh, of course. Please do. And Tomato Duplenty. Actually, David Xavier. I won't mention his last name. But yeah, he was the best. Loved by tons of people. He's still, to this day, he's a celebrated artist.
South Beach icon.
Well, and LA icon more so, too. Mm. Yeah, you need to just Google him. Mm-hmm. Tomato Duplenty. He was fucking awesome. And Dennis and I have a feeling, we joke about this, that he was the one that introduced us and was meant to be. Mm. You know?
Mm. He sounds larger than life.
Yeah, he was the best. You know what I wanted to say, speaking of being Jewish, have you watched Hunters yet?
Mm-mm, I have not.
We watched, 2.5 episodes last night?
Yeah.
With Robert De Niro. It only got 3 stars on the little thing when it comes up, but it's pretty, it sucks you in right away.
What's it about?
Jews.
Okay.
Hunting Nazis.
Hunter, I'm all over it.
Nazi hunters.
In modern era.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Like Simon Wiesenthal.
In 1977. in New York City. So there were a lot of folks who were still alive and vibrant who survived the concentration camps. Uh-huh, the Holocaust, And it, you don't want to ruin it for you, but it's a story about a group of people who hunting Nazis who are living in South very America. Comfortable lives. Mm-hmm. Well, it starts, I'm sure it'll move on, but they're living very comfortable lives here in the United States.
Is it a miniseries or what?
I guess it's a series, And Robert De Niro is a star, but you know, it's pretty well done. The opening scene, I was like, let's turn, you know. Al Pacino. I stand corrected. Thank you. But I didn't know if you had seen it yet. But
no,
I
hadn't.
But it's got some pretty racy things in it. It's graphically violent and that sort of thing.
Is it pervy?
Huh?
Is it pervy?
Not yet, but I'm sure at some point.
You know what I love is Al Pacino cruising. Okay?
My friend did part of that soundtrack.
Kidding me. Oh, my God. That rocks. The Germs.
Yeah. The premiere in Hollywood.
Oh my God, that's such a cool movie.
Yeah, it was.
I've turned a lot of straight guys onto that, and they can't believe like Pacino did that movie.
I know.
Well, I need to watch that again because I think I saw it 30 years ago, and I don't remember.
Let's watch it again.
Okay, let's do it. We'll have a movie night at our place, pajama have party. Do you want to do one more question?
All right. Might be a long one, but I hear some of you like that.
When a mortuary chapel is used, where does one make funeral calls?
Still, right?
Sorry, repeat that, please, Dennis.
When a mortuary chapel is used, where does one make funeral calls? Must the family be represented at home as well as in the funeral chapel in order to receive calls? These were all earmarked for Halloween, by the way.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Well, close enough.
Okay.
Every day is all right. Halloween.
I'm going to say yes.
And you?
I think yes as well.
And you?
Well, wasn't it?
When a mortuary chapel is used, where does one make funeral calls?
Well, I'd say my mobile phone.
No calls in the mortuary.
Yeah, but we're talking about visitation.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Must the family be represented at home as well as in the funeral chapel in order to receive calls?
I would say yes.
Sure, why not?
Now that the mortuary chapel has so much replaced the home in the laying out of the dead, people are often confused as to where they are expected to make their funeral calls. If they are close friends and relatives, they may call both at home and the chapel if they wish, leaving their cards or signing the register at the funeral chapel. If calls are received at the funeral chapel, some family representatives should be present at least during the afternoon and early evening when the calls are most likely to be made.
Yep, we were right. This podcast is the closest thing I have to a will.
Same here.
Thank God. I'm getting
leaving it to
there.
My children.
Yeah.
$7 in my savings account. Thank you, Dennis, for playing Just Jump, my favorite game show or game. Unfortunately, we are running out of the time on the ticker here. So I want to say thank you. First of all, why don't you guys tell us where we can find you social media-wise, any upcoming dates that you're aware of, anything like that?
Okay, so my porn is... No, I'm kidding. Sally Mullins 818 on Instagram, Sally Mullins 1 on Twitter, and April 19th, I'll be at Dow Comedy Studio, and I'll be performing my comedy special, Sleazy Does It Again, and signing copies of the Hustler magazine. I got an article about me in it, so I'll be signing them and selling them, and it's an animal charity benefit. I just haven't decided what animal charity yet, or they haven't accepted me yet, because it's like porn-themed. Yeah, they're not sure about the porn. That's April 19th.
Well, you know what? We actually have a Christmas Eve party every year that's a benefit for the Pico Animal Shelter.
Oh, how great.
Yeah, it's good. The Happy Birthday Baby Jesus Cocktail Soiree, and it's really a lot of fun. But the point is that everybody brings something like that, and we foster animals through the Pico Shelter and blah, blah, blah.
That's good.
So, yeah,
to know.
Believe that's awesome that you're doing that. Thank you for giving back to the animal community as well. Yay. And Prince Pizza.
So, I'm going to be at the Ha Ha Cafe on March 16th, Monday, and then also at the Comedy Store. The D's Nut Show, March 20th.
March 20th.
And
that's
then,
great.
Later this year, I'll be shooting my one-hour comedy special as well.
Congratulations. That's big news. That's great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like people ask, wow, how do you get through that? And I sort of am like, well, I think lots of caffeine and beta blockers.
Mm-hmm. And I, Bob Dean of the Bob Dean Show,
yay.
Will be at the Ha Ha Cafe on Monday, March 2nd, and D's Nuts Comedy at the Arena Stage Theater on Tuesday, March 17th. And as I said, please keep your ears open for more details on the Charles Stewart Howard production of Hands on a Horror Body, where I play J.D. Drew. And is there anything else, Dennis? Would you like to add anything? Sammy? Okay, listen, thank you guys. So, as I said, we have been on hiatus for a while. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So
I thought you were waving goodbye. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Prince Peter.
So I just want to mention where we are on social media as well.
Oh, of course. I'm
so,
sorry.
So I'm Prince Peter Comedian on Instagram and TikTok. Sally?
I said mine, and I'm not on TikTok, and that's really cool that you are.
You don't want to see me dance.
Oh, I am going to see you now.
No, you don't.
What is TikTok?
TikTok, it's a new social media. It's kind of like an Instagram meets Vine.
Oh, I can't wait. I just looked at my Twitter today. That my last tweet was 2 years ago.
Nice.
But my Instagram is BobDean2971. And then, of course, the Bob Dean Show on Facebook and my private whatever. Anyway, listen, thank you guys so much. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, loyal listeners, for waiting. Dennis is whispering to say thank you, Sammy, which I was
thank
just about
you,
to
Sammy.
Do. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Sammy Junior, because Sammy Junior's career is taking off in many different directions for the best, and we love her. So we could have some sketchy here shows here and there until we settle into some new things. But thank you all very much for listening. Please, please, please ask your friends to follow us on iTunes and like us on iHeartRadio.com. Which I'm very proud to be part of the iHeartRadio family as well. Subscribe, and please tell your friends, even if they don't want to listen, hit that button so I can make some money. right? All right. Thank you all very much. And until next time, this is Bob Dean saying, have a nice day.